What's up, Stunt Babies? It's another edition of the Stunt Granny Audio. Oh my God, the band is back together, kinda. Two members of the band, anyway. Eric and Dusty. Dusty, what's going on, brother?
The triangle player and the tambourine player reunited once again.
I found out that our new drummer was first chair triangle in high school.
Nice.
Yeah, and so we were like, how many chairs were there? One.
One.
But he qualified.
Hey, right on.
I ain't arguing. We're going to do this till the wheels fall off or until my cell phone battery dies, which may be imminent. But in the meantime, we're going to talk about a variety of topics that have happened in the last 3 days. And first thing that we should mention, because Dusty, you have not chimed in on this yet, is the crowning of Sheamus as the WWE champion. I wanted to know what you think of that man holding that belt.
Well, you know, a lot of people on a lot of different message boards have been saying stuff. I know, who was it? The Trevor, right? An old friend of ours who posted an awesome thread telling everybody to shut the fuck up. Because nobody on any message board is ever going to be happy about anything. And that's basically how I feel.
Yeah.
As well, it's, oh, they need to push young guys. And then when they push young guys, well, it's not the right young guys. You know? And, yeah, I would prefer to be somebody else. And, yeah, it's kind of fishy that he is Triple H's buddy and he's the one getting the push. But who gives a fuck in the grand scheme of things?
Yeah.
It's somebody new.
Yep.
And it's not like he's terrible.
You know, he can hold his own. I mean, he's strong. Most of his moves look good. His selling, for what selling he's done, looks okay. His facials, every once in a while, he looks like a little kid when he makes that harumph type of face.
Yeah.
And he needs to just, like, have a interview delivery style of his own, because much like MVP and much like a few other guys, he just kind of sounds like he's reading the same lines that were written for him. But maybe working out with Triple H, he can... you know, try out some material on him, I don't know.
That'd be good, yeah. Like if George Carlin and Richard Pryor were working out together or something.
Jesus, that'd be incredible.
Yeah, anyway, he is, the one thing I don't like about him, he's like too big to be selling as much as he does, you know?
Yeah.
But he's not big enough to be totally invincible.
Yeah, he's not a monster heel. That's right. A good point. I'm kind of like, it settles weird with me because he's not a monster, but he's not like, you know, yeah, for exactly the same reason you just mentioned. Like, you're not he's not Zeus.
Right.
Sorry. Bad example.
I think he should drop a few pounds. He's not going to, but that's what I would advise. I was talking to Jordan about this, and we came up with a thing where, you know, and we both kind of agree with this. He should hold the belt for a long fucking time.
Huh, okay. Like, how long do you think? What's a long time?
Well, if it were up to me, like, let's say I was hired, for whatever ungodly reason, they hired me today to be the booker.
Uh-huh.
I would have him hold the belt until WrestleMania 2011.
Jesus, Lord in heaven, that's a long fucking time from now, my friend.
That's like 15, 16 months.
Yeah, wow.
And you can do like a mix, sort of halfway in between Brock Lesnar and the Honky Tonk Man. Maybe sometimes he cheats to keep the title, you know? Maybe sometimes he purposely gets disqualified or purposely gets counted out.
All right.
And have him run the gamut on the old guys. He can beat Cena once, he can beat Undertaker once, doesn't have to be clean. And then in 2011, you know, the title really means something. Now, because this year they've gone out of their way, and you can agree or disagree with the title changes, but there's been a fucking lot of title changes.
Yes, and the bouncing back and forth between Cena and Orton has been ridiculous.
Ridiculous! The belt does not need to change hands this often.
No, and the shit that happened the first part of the year, that's basically those two plus Hunter, Jesus Lord.
So the best way to build it back up is to have this guy hold the belt for a long time.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be as long as I want it to be, but he should hold it for a fucking long time.
Okay.
So I'm scared that they're going to give it right back to Cena.
Oh, they will. I guarantee they will. And if they don't do it on January 4th for Raw, which you and I have discussed in private, behind closed doors, how I have all these big ideas for January 4th that basically involves giving away a ton of shit that people could pay for, which you called me out on. And my answer for that was, it's going to be 7 weeks until they ask people to plunk down any money, and that show is the Royal Rumble where everyone's eaten up by a 30-man battle royal. But, you know, that doesn't mean that they can't have a match at Royal Rumble, and fuck, Sheamus could win that one. He could hold it until No Way Out.
Sure.
You know, he might, I don't know. It's like they had, when Kurt Angle won the belt, and he just casually held it until No Way Out of 2001 when The Rock beat him, just so that The Rock and Austin could wrestle each other for the belt. At WrestleMania 17, you know, Sheamus could be one of those champions. It's like, he obviously wasn't the focus of Raw, and let's transition into that, too. They could be working up a separate feud going toward WrestleMania and just kind of have Sheamus hang on to the belt for a while. You know, he could be the big pale Irish trophy case for a few months.
Sure.
But
they have a lot of big-name wrestlers. Like about 10 to 12 of big-name wrestlers. Sheamus doesn't have to be the focal point.
That's true.
I know what they're thinking. They're scared they don't want him to headline a WrestleMania.
No, I'm sure they don't.
I can come up with like 4 other matches they could do at WrestleMania where it wouldn't matter that Sheamus is the champion.
Yeah, I mean, if they've got a bunch of matches that would sell the pay-per-view, then you're right. I mean, essentially, he doesn't need the belt. I'd like to think of a WrestleMania or two where they've done that. Well, like 18, you know, 18. Shit. Triple H and Chris Jericho sure didn't sell the pay-per-view.
No, absolutely not. And not the dog or whatever, Stephanie, any of that. None of that sold the pay-per-view.
Yeah, no kidding. By the way, my battery just beeped at me, but I'll trim this out if necessary.
Okay.
I can always download the show when I get home, and if we want to finish it while I'm at home and plugged in, then we won't have to worry about recording over anything. I'll have already downloaded it, and I can download part B or whatever.
Excellent.
Okay, cool.
We are live.
What the fuck was I going to say? Oh, so what I wanted to kind of transition into, and we can make this as seamless as possible, but on Monday Night Raw, of course, it was a 3-hour show, and it was the Slammies, and Sheamus won the Breakout Star of the Year award.
Yep.
He's given a Slammy in the first hour, and you pretty much don't hear a thing about him the entire rest of the 3-hour show.
Right.
So there's your evidence that he doesn't need to be the focal point of everything, because he sure as fuck wasn't the night after he won the belt.
I would have put him up against some Skrubinski guy like Chavo and have him kill him. You know?
Yeah, have him wrestle anybody, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Just some sort of, you know, like, I don't know how to put it. Like, just like, hey, here's the new champ kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, like, just parade him out there and have him wrestle and beat somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's, you know, obviously, they did their comedy thing with Santino. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Who's another low-level baby face? I mean, they had Evan Bourne do something. I don't know. And they probably don't want to squash Mark Henry or MVP that quick. But anyway, you're right. That would have been a good way to do it.
Yep. No, this is kind of strange. They kind of forgot about him.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, it just goes to show that John Cena and Randy Orton are the stars of the show, and Hunter and Sean, obviously.
Hunter and Sean were all over the place.
Yeah, how many fucking segments did they get?
And one thing I noticed, Jordan, behind closed doors, that was a DX crowd.
Uh-huh, yeah.
DX crowd that happened to like Cena, too.
Yep.
Which is different, because there used to be a Cena crowd who liked DX.
Yeah.
So we're getting more and more to the point where we can do a double turn with Cena and Orton.
That would be great, I think, because people are popping for Orton winning. You know, mm-hmm. they've done it more than just when he beat Kofi at TLC. They've done it multiple times here recently. And the thing is, it's part, I feel, because he has one of the only fully developed characters in WWE right now.
Yes.
He's somebody that the fans can sink their teeth into. They can be like, good, he just won the match, and I understand how he feels about it.
Right.
Want to know my feelings?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, tell me.
Yep. Yeah, I feel like Orton right now is somebody that, and like maybe even 3 months down the road, is somebody that people could get behind. You know what? Orton and Cena, they could, it's been done a million times, we can joke about it, whatever. They could do that at WrestleMania. If those guys don't touch each other for the next 4 months, they could do it at WrestleMania and pull off a double turn, the likes of which hasn't been seen since 13.
Yep.
I feel like that would be a great stage to do it.
They're the perfect people to do it. They can pull it off.
Yep. And like I said to you at one point, just because Cena's a heel doesn't mean he won't move merch, because I bet he will.
No, absolutely not. There's been recorded cases of heels drawing major money. So
yeah,
I wouldn't worry about that at all.
There was this group of guys, I can't remember, they had black t-shirts with white lettering on it. God, who the fuck was that? Diesel and Razor Ramon, I think, were involved. Mm. They had different names, though.
Mm. You mean the dudes with attitude?
No, shit.
Oh.
It wasn't the fucking Diamond Mine. That's right. It was the fucking NWO, you bunch of retards.
Yeah.
Heels sell merchandise, too.
Absolutely do.
So, anyway, it
and
can be
now,
done.
Now we can get to the where we know Cena's more comfortable as a heel. He's had so much time as a babyface, now it's safe for me to say it. He's more comfortable as a heel.
Sure, and he could play up, you know, he's like, I've been pretending I didn't like all these boos. Y'all want to boo me, fine, whatever.
Right.
Bunch of Turks.
Half the crowd wants to. Why not?
So speaking of heels who can sell merchandise, I'm pretty sure these two sold merch when they were heels, but there's another couple of guys by the names of Shawn Michaels and Hunter Hearst Helmsley. Do those sound familiar to you as well?
Well, they really do, oh, subdued one.
Yeah. Now they'll know the secrets. the reason this is a terrible segue, but the reason I wanted to mention Shawn Michaels, I think we've run out of steam with the Sheamus topic. I think your idea intrigues me of him holding the belt for 16 months.
Okay.
I could see him holding the belt for 3 months, maybe, or two months. But I don't know. It just depends on what kind of, you know, how they want to shuffle around their upper card and how they want to get to Cena Orton at WrestleMania, because it's fucking inevitable.
Right.
It's basically like we wake up every day and we just expect Cena to be wrestling Orton in our kitchen.
You know, yeah, I really do. Mm-hmm.
It's just nonstop. you know, that's one pot. If they do wrestle each other at WrestleMania, that would free up the aforementioned Shawn Michaels to fulfill his challenge of The Undertaker on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker from WrestleMania 25 won the Slammy for best match of the year. I think that's a fucking shoo-in. I think it's obvious, and it's probably the match of the last 100 years as far as I'm concerned.
You know, it has to be in everyone's top five, or else they're not fucking paying attention.
Yeah,
you know?
Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, that's an interesting question. I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, but if you had to compile a top five, even if you have to name off a few more and then we'd whittle it down later, what other matches do you have in mind for a possible top five ever?
Oh, well, I really like Savage versus Flair
from
Grapplemania. I really like Owen Brett and Brett Austin.
Mm-hmm.
Also WrestleManias, those have to be considered, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what else?
I would think that any of the Flair Steamboat matches from 89.
Flair Steamboat, yep. Mm-hmm.
And of course,
I remember liking one more than the others. Which one was that? Wrestle War?
The one where Flair won the belt back?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. Like, that second one that was on Clash of the Champions with the double chicken wing, double pin.
Yep.
It was well wrestled, but I'm not nearly as big of a fan of that one. I would say that one is third out of three, and then the first one, and then the Wrestle War match was just an epic.
Definitely. So I put that one up there. So that's four that I've named.
Okay. Oh, wow.
You know, because I'm trying to think. I can think of a lot of, like, good matches, but nothing, you know, it's got to be up at that level, or else it's not worth mentioning.
Right.
That's my top four right there. Let's see. Well, maybe Savage Steamboat.
Savage Steamboat, okay. One thing to note, too, for those of you old man historians out there who are listening to this and is like, you're not even talking about Joe Stecker and Earl Caddick. And it's like, okay, I understand. But, you know, you have to kind of weigh these best matches ever on, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? On a standard of timeliness, what holds up? Yeah. And we could think of all the best wrestlers of the 1940s and 50s. We could think of all the Lou Thezes and Ricky Dozans and, you know, whatever, name them all. And what they did might have been okay for back then.
Right.
You know, I don't know. Then people in the 1940s and 50s, Jesus Christ, they would have had a heart attack if they would have seen Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm.
It's like after Marty McFly gets done playing Johnny B. Goode and the whole crowd has just stopped and he's like, something like, that might be a little too much for you, but trust me, your kids are going to love it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's like, if you're weighing things like that, I'm sorry, you're not going to find a Vern Gagne match that was as good as Ric Flair versus Vader at Starrcade 93.
Right.
You're not going to find a Lou Thez match that was as good as Brett versus Austin at WrestleMania 13. You're not going to find one. You might have, and I've granted I've never seen them, so I can't speak for them, but you might find a Dory Funk, Jack Briscoe. Whoops, I got my Briscoes mixed up. Maybe a match that good, you know?
Sure.
JR creams himself every time he thinks about Dory Funk versus Jack Briscoe.
Sure.
So maybe there's something to it, but, you know, I agree with some of them you said. I mean, of course, I love Savage Flair.
Sure.
I got to put...
Brett versus Perfect from SummerSlam.
Yeah, that one's pretty damn classic, too. That's an excellent 20-minute match. I would go so far as to stroke the ROH collective, and I would put even like Samoa Joe, CM Punk, any of those three matches up there.
Okay.
They might have been wrestled in front of 400 people, but I honestly feel like you could have taken any of those matches and put them in Madison Square Garden, you know, in front of the right crowd, obviously, a crowd that knew who they were. And
the Epic Arena?
The people
the arena in all arenas?
The Mecca.
Yeah.
The holy ground. I don't know. I think those matches were excellently structured, well put together. The second one more so than the first. I think I'm in the minority when it comes to that with the Joe Punk series, but whatever. But yeah, back to the topic at hand though. Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker, in my opinion, tops them all. I think it's the best match of all time.
Sure. And I want to see a rematch.
I think I do, too. I'm curious.
It won't be as good, and I'm fully ready to accept that.
Yeah, that was my first thought, was I have to mentally prepare myself in case it's not as good.
Sure. And it won't be.
It probably won't be.
But that's fine with me.
Uh-huh.
You know, I just, you know, looking at it like, you know, I've been into UFC lately.
Uh-huh.
You know, like where Couture and Chuck Liddell had to fight each other three times, you know?
Yeah.
You got to see it, even if you know by the third fight who's going to win, you know?
Uh-huh.
I think there's major money to be made with another rematch.
Yes. Yeah, so. That's a good point, too. It's like, no matter what, the curiosity of that match is enough to make people put their money down for it.
Mm-hmm.
If I knew that that match was going to be at WrestleMania, I would buy the pay-per-view. Sold. Done. Again, I don't care if it's not as good. Because the thing is, it's not going to be as good as 10 out of 10. It's not going to be as good as 5 out of 5, whatever. Whatever your scale is.
That's right.
Out of 5 stars, if those two are capable of wrestling a 4 and 3 quarter star match against each other, and that's nothing to sneeze at, folks. That
not
is
at
an
all.
Excellent match.
Not at all.
So yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing it. I guess in my warped mind full of fantasy booking, I was thinking we'd see John Cena versus Undertaker.
Sure.
Considering they've teased it twice now with the Tombstone at Madison Square Garden, followed by the possibility of them wrestling this past week on Raw in the Gold Rush Beat the Clock tournament or whatever the fuck they called it.
I don't know what they called it.
But, oh, real quick, Bret Hart versus British Bulldog, SummerSlam 92.
Definitely. Yep.
I'll put that one in there, too, because that was almost half hour, and it was excellent. God, what was I going to say? Oh, that actually brings me to another topic, though, that I'd mentioned earlier. Speaking of the tournament that they held on Monday Night Raw, in the basically what amounted to the semifinal round, John Cena wrestled CM Punk. I don't have the time of the match in front of me, but I don't think it lasted more than 4 minutes.
I thought it went like 9.
Really? Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, maybe my point isn't as strong then. It felt like it went by really quick, and it felt like CM Punk got basically squashed.
Yeah, it certainly did.
What the hell are they doing with him?
You know, and they had him lose to R-Truth on that dark match.
Yeah.
And all kinds of shit that really makes me go, wait a minute now. What's going on with him, you know?
It's like, did they see him as a good hand that they needed to give the belt to for credibility's sake, and that he would just spend the next 3 years putting people over? Because R-Truth ain't the right choice.
No, R-Truth should not be put over anybody.
Fuck no.
I would sit there for a half hour wondering who should win between R-Truth and Hornswoggle. I don't know.
Yeah, no kidding. It boggles the mind, and in part because it's got to be obvious to somebody in charge there that there is money to be made with CM Punk.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Edge versus CM Punk would be awesome.
Definitely.
They've already done some Undertaker CM Punk, but Undertaker squashed him. I don't know if they can revisit it or not, but
sure.
You know, shit. I don't know. Let's say something drastic happens in the draft, and Triple H ends up on the same show as Punk.
Okay.
You know, Punk's like, whatever. Maybe he doesn't allude to like steroid use or something like that, but. It could just be the people are so sick of you being on top for whatever.
Right.
Or, let's say Michaels and Punk are on top, and Punk's like, you know, you've got a storied history of drug use. Who the hell do you think you are? You know, whatever. I'm here to make my name at your expense, blah, blah, blah.
Excellent. Punk Jericho would be good.
That would be cool. Who would be the baby face?
Yeah, that's the problem. But still, you know, just on a basic level, it'd be awesome.
Yeah, it would be great to. The mic work would be awesome. Yeah. I don't know.
There's a lot of possibilities, and they don't seem interested in exploring any of them.
Yeah, they don't seem interested in making money.
Mm-hmm. I was trying to sugarcoat it, but yeah.
Right. I don't understand. I'll maybe even. I know I say this a lot, I'll give it time to see what happens. I have a feeling like in a couple weeks I'm just going to be as disappointed, you know?
Yeah. No, it's like,
losing.
I know, I sound like a broken record every week I come on here with Kevin and I complain about what they're doing to Evan Bourne. I have a feeling that it's going to be the same fucking thing now with Punk.
Yeah. I don't get it. I don't like it. They need to stop the bleeding immediately. They need to put him in a feud with somebody that can handle losing. I don't know who it is. I don't care who it is.
Well, that's one thing. Everybody's so scared about losing now.
Uh-huh.
Just lose.
It's true.
Just fucking lose. God.
Yep. And I think it's in part because they're seeing some of this upward mobility. Like, they're seeing Punk for the last year. They're seeing Sheamus right now. They're seeing guys who are getting chances. Kofi, Christ, you know. And they're like, oh, if I lose, you know, it's like the upper guys, if I lose, I'm going to lose my spot.
Right.
You know, yes, even some younger guys maybe like, God damn it, I can't lose. I won't make it up to Kofi Kingston level.
No, that's exactly it. It's just this whole culture has been created by their poor booking.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I hope it changes.
Yeah, me too, sincerely. Let's see. What else can we... Oh, let's see. Let's stay in the bitching mood. You I mentioned Dennis Miller, and you're like, yeah, we can talk about how Dennis Miller sucked as host of Raw.
Yeah, his jokes fell flatter than Kate Moss getting run over by a giant rolling pin.
That's awesome. Yeah, the thing is, a lot of the times his jokes are too smart for a wrestling crowd. But, like, the way he dumbed down... His dumbed down humor was...
poor.
It was poor. No, it was like the crowd didn't want to hear those type of things.
No.
Like, we didn't come here for a stand-up act, pal. But it's If he said what he really probably had in mind or really had written, there's the fucking arena full of hillbillies would have never understood what he was talking about.
Right. But when he dumbed it down, they didn't care what he was talking about.
Yep.
So he was in a no-win situation, so he shouldn't have never been the host.
That's a good point. They should just continue looking for the lowest common denominator.
Oh, shit, man. They should just rotate Jesse and Bob Barker every other week.
That'd be fucking awesome. That'd be great. I was thinking Ozzy, just shuffle him out there.
Yeah.
Everybody loves listening to him babble.
Mm-hmm.
But I will mention this, though, and I'll gauge if you thought this was a good thing for Dennis Miller to do. He teased Bret the Hitman Hart coming back as guest host someday.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yes. Now, I know that everything that you see on TV actually happened.
Yes, indeed.
I know. That's a good rule of thumb in wrestling. And I realize that most stuff that happens on TV is scripted, 99.5% of it.
Yes, and by the way, real quick, if you write for The Torch and you're doing like a roundup about the show, you don't need to point out that everything was scripted, you dumb fuck. Solid prick. Because obviously.
That's awesome.
Anyway,
I love it. It's not beyond anybody, any celebrity, anybody like that to go off script or say something that they shouldn't say, like when Mike Tyson said that he loved Bruno Sammartino.
Yeah.
And Vince just got that look on his face like, God, Jesus Christ.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. So when I heard that, though, when I heard Dennis Miller mention Bret the Hitman Hart, I was like, wow, was that planned or was that just some fan spouting off the name of somebody that he liked? Because Vince just stormed off, you know. He got that look on his face again, like someone just fucking tried to Pat Peter him. And then and then he just kind of stormed off like he'd completely lost control of the segment. So I kind of wonder, A, if you think anything's actually in the plans for Bret Hart to come back for a guest host spot, and B, whether it was planned or not, if he did, if that's a good idea.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because I kind of read that a little weird. I read it like he was supposed to mention Bret Hart and then drop it. And the fact that he went on and on about it and engaged the crowd's reaction on it, that part probably wasn't scripted.
And
that caused Vince to storm off like a little child.
Right, stamp his feet.
Because that was a very awkward moment. It did look like it was genuine. Vince McMahon is a very strange person.
Yeah.
And when things don't go his way, he does stuff like that.
Well, and you can read his face pretty easily. Like, I noticed when Dennis Miller said, you know, what crowd, what do you think? And they started to cheer. Vince got that, like one-quarter smile on his face.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He always, like, one side of his mouth starts to kind of smile, almost like, oh, great, I have to hear what these idiots think now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Seriously, he gets that look on his face all the time when people do shit like that to him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's got to tell. So, yeah, it's possible that that wasn't planned. And then, of course, he's like, great, I got to stand out here, and now I might have to follow through on it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I've been hearing that Brett is coming back for a limited time, so that's why I think that that part was scripted.
Okay.
And that Dennis Miller just, you know, went off on his own little thing.
Sure.
At the end there. Hard to say.
I don't know. I'd heard the Bret Hart name bandied about as a possible general manager somewhere or other.
Yep, guest host or general manager. I'm sure he'll be brought back at some point. Doesn't he have like two or three ex-wives now?
Yeah, seriously. He and Flair are in they're neck and neck. Their alimony payments are going to be outrageous. I don't know though. Like, there was speculation. I think it was Powell threw it out there that he wondered if Bret Hart would be the guest host on January 4th. And
that
of course,
right.
for those people not in the know, we keep coming back to that date because that's when TNA is holding their stupid Monday night 3-hour special to go up against Raw.
Their Monday night suicide mission, yes.
Yep, seriously, Monday night cyanide.
I honestly think that WWE could change nothing and still just stomp their ass, you know?
Yeah, oh, I'm sure.
Well, if they decided to take your advice and dress up the show a little bit, it's going to be ridiculous.
Oh, my God, it'd be a
slaughter.
It'd be like a James Taylor song, I'm a steamroller, baby.
Oh, no. Let that be the last time James Taylor is ever mentioned in anything but a totally derisive fashion on our audience.
Oh, that's sad. All right. But, yeah,
I love
know.
Carole King. Love Carole King. Hate James Taylor. I'm sorry.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, of course, Powell's also speculated that Steve Austin or The Rock would get the call to be the guest host on the 4th. In comparison, I think Bret Hart is yesterday's trash compared to those two.
Basically, yeah.
I mean, there's no way that Bret Hart would get the mainstream pub that The Rock would get. And there's no and even Austin, because Austin's got the Expendables coming up and other movie stuff that he's working on.
Sure.
They would make the full court press with either one of those two. WWE would. And the media would pick up on it. They could try the same thing with Bret Hart, and people would be like, Bret who?
Right.
And they'd be like, the guy that kid made the sign for that said Bret Hart and it had a pair of his glasses and a bunch of yarn for his hair.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, that guy sounds like white trash. Let's move on. You know you can't grab Bret Hart by the hair.
Why is that?
You get too many oil slicks on your hands.
Oil slick, yes.
So, I don't know. I mean, it's interesting that his name comes up, but I really don't see it making a dent. And if it did, maybe the question is why waste it on the 4th? Or why not just do it on the 4th and save Austin or Rock for another time?
Well, I heard Rock's name come up for the week after. UFC has something going against WWE the week after. That might be more of a threat to them, to be honest.
It might be, yeah. You're exactly right.
So,
okay, interesting.
See where you bust out the Rock.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll see how it pans out.
Indeed.
As I like to say. Well, since we're talking about Bret Hart and he's kind of old school, the only other thing that was on our agenda, Dusty, you wanted to say something or many things possibly about SummerSlam 1988. What you just watched it?
Because I just watched him and Superstar Graham. Who's in the news, so this is somewhat relevant. He's in the news for selling his Hall of Fame ring.
Yeah.
Superstar Graham is absolutely hilarious on comedy.
Uh-huh.
Come on, Jesse, do your job in there, man.
Yeah.
Come on, man, do your job in there. What's going on, man?
Dude, that's the best part about his commentary. Let me let you in on something, because I don't think I've ever mentioned this before. The first time I rented SummerSlam 88, whoever had it before me must not have rewound it all the way, and I just popped it in, didn't think to rewind it, and it started playing.
Yeah.
I was not completely familiar with Superstar Graham at the time.
Sure.
And I missed the beginning of the show where they showed him and Gorilla sitting up at the top of the arena introducing the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't recall pretty much any time whatsoever during the show that Gorilla Monsoon referred to him by name.
Mm.
I can't think of one anyway. So, because of his voice and his delivery and his rap,
yeah.
I didn't know who it was on commentary. I thought it was Dusty Rhodes.
Oh, my God. Okay.
He sounds just like him. He's got the working man rap and blah, blah, and come on, brother, do this and do that. And he didn't have the lisp necessarily, but for the most part, like, the way those two speak is pretty much exactly the same.
Kind of, yeah. Hmm.
So, anyway, it wasn't until I rewound the tape and maybe, I don't know, watched it again another time later on that I was like, oh, okay, it's that guy that won the belt a million years ago. Okay, I get it.
Yep.
Yeah. No, you're right, but the funniest thing to me is what you pretty much alluded to there is his commentary is say something, and then say brother, and then say it again.
Oh my God, he is having a heart attack about Jesse's refereeing.
Oh yeah, yeah, do your job. Jesse Ventura, do your job, brother. Jesse Ventura, do your job.
Come on, man, do your
Come
job
on, man.
In there.
Hulk Hogan is my hero, brother. Hulk Hogan is my hero, my main man.
He's my double main man.
Double main man, Jesus Christ. That's so fucking awesome. Jesus.
I call him, Gorilla, I call him the man with the bionic bicep.
That's, yeah, oh my God. Honky Tonk Man's like, bring anybody out here. Oh, don't say that, brother. Don't say that.
Yeah.
There's a whole locker room full of people looking to tear this man apart.
You know what I love, though, watching that again? Mean Gene knows who the mystery opponent is.
Oh, God.
But nobody else knows. Howard Finkel doesn't know. Gorilla doesn't know. Do Your Job in There doesn't know. How the hell did Mean Gene find this out?
Wait, at what point do you know that Mean Gene knew?
After the first or second match, he interviews Honky, and they talk about the Brutus angle, and then they say, and then Mean Gene's like, but there are rumors that your opponent is going to be, no, don't tell me. I want it to be a surprise, because you see, it doesn't matter, you know.
That's awesome. I wonder if they did they take that out of the Coliseum home video version?
Yes.
Okay, so it's probably on the DVD version, which I might be buying here pretty soon.
Oh, you know what else is glorious that's taken out of the VHS tape? After Warrior wins, he gives this amazing interview.
Oh, God.
Because Honky had just given an interview saying he wants a rematch, right?
Okay.
So Warrior says, Honky, if you want a rematch, I'm not hard to find. I'm going to take a rocket ship to parts unknown.
Oh, Jesus H. Christ.
Doesn't that mean he is going to be hard to find?
Yes, he's going to be the fucking hardest person ever to find. Oh, my God.
So, yeah, that's just a few things I wanted to note about SummerSlam.
That's awesome. And I like the fact that he's going to fucking fuel up the rocket ship with the rocket fuel.
Indeed.
He's going to do 88 ultimate lines of rocket fuel and then head off to fucking parts unknown. Jeez.
And it was a good time to be a drug dealer at that time. I'll just say that.
Fucking the Junkyard Dog was still there.
Junkyard Dog. Hogan and Savage. You can't lie to me. Hogan and Savage. Warrior. It was, good times.
That's great, yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, well, speaking of good times, I think I'm about to have a good time going to bed here pretty soon.
Yeah, you got gainful employment you need to carry through on, so.
Yeah, how dumb is that?
It's gay.
It's double dumb.
Bias pretty gay.
Yeah. Like John LaJoy, the famed stand-up comedian, would say, work is for women and gays.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I think I'm going to go ahead and sign off, but it was good to get back in the saddle. Good to talk wrestling with you, Dusty, even if it was only for a short bit.
Right on. Right on, my man.
All right, cool. Right on, my man. Right on, my brother. So,
oh,
right.
Positively, gorilla.
Shit. So, all right, so I'm going to go and keep checking out Stunt Granny, keep going to the forum. I put a link up at the top of the Stunt Granny main page to the SG forum, so if you're ever looking for the forum, can't remember the link, don't have it bookmarked, whatever, go up there and click on it, and booyah, you will be in all sorts of interactive fucking activity, for lack of any better term. So, anyway, do that, and keep an eye out and ear out for other shit we got coming up, and we'll talk to you later.
All right, for Eric Nelson and Superstar Graham, I'm Dusty Giebing. This has been another edition of the Stunt Granny Experience. We'll try to do better next time.